Hey, so I know last week's episode was rough, you and me both, but I promise we won't be talking about puppies getting hurt today, or hopefully ever again. We will be talking about mature topics not intended for all audiences, though, so please do use caution when listening. Author and abuse consultant Lundy Bancroft, and yes, I'm talking about Lundy Bancroft again. I really love you, Lundy. In his book, Why Does He Do That? Inside the Minds of Angry and Controlling Men, he writes, "The scars from mental cruelty can be as deep and long-lasting as wounds from punches or slaps, but are often not as obvious. In fact, even among women who have experienced violence from a partner, half or more report that the man's emotional abuse is what's causing them the greatest harm. It takes a village to raise a child, and the same can be said for abusing a woman. For her abuser, it can become difficult to abuse her all by himself, so he manipulates others into helping him." Lundy notes, "Most abusive men put on charming faces for their communities, creating a sharp split between their public image and their private treatment of women and children. He may be enraged at home, but calm and smiling outside, selfish and self-centered with you, but generous and supportive with others. Domineering at home, but willing to negotiate and compromise outside. Highly negative about females while on his own turf, but a vocal supporter of equality when anyone else is listening. Violent towards his partner or children, but non-violent and non-threatening with everyone else. Entitled at home, but critical of other men who disrespect or assault women." The following are examples of how allies of abusers help support abuse. Social pressure, putting pressure on the woman to make the relationship work and find a way to hold the family together, regardless of abuse. Due to the misconception that abuse comes from bad relationship dynamics, allies see the woman as sharing responsibility equally for getting things to improve. Guilting, telling the abused that the abuser needs them in order to get better. Placing responsibility of the abuser's personal improvement above a woman's right to safety and happiness. Silence. Being aware of chronic or severe mistreatment and not speaking out against it. Silence communicates implicitly that you see nothing unacceptable taking place. Abusers interpret silence as approval or at least forgiveness. Victim blaming. Placing responsibility of harm onto the victim. This can include labeling the abused as playing the victim or calling them weak or oversensitive. Ignorance. Choosing to ignore signs of abuse or pretending not to see abusive behaviors. Placing personal comforts and relationships with the abuser above the woman's right to live safely. Societal and/or religious beliefs. Using subjective morality and spiritual documents to diminish or deny a woman's right to equality. I'm Tiffany Reese, and this is Something Was Wrong. You think you know me, you don't know me well at all.
Think you know me, you don't know me well. There was a friend of his that started texting me very, very early on. She was married. They lived in New York. They had met in Colorado because he's from Colorado. They're all from Colorado. But she married this guy that owned a dropship business that really took them all over the world, and the best place for them to be located was in New York. Kimmy and Brian get married very, very quickly. Apparently, they knew they loved each other 3 weeks into their relationship and got engaged. Dad did not approve. There was a major fallout. It took her parents a full year, she said, to approve of her relationship with Brian, because they did get married. And at this point, by the time I, you know, met him and started texting Kimmy and Brian, they'd been married for 13 years. And I thought, okay, well, it worked. You guys are good. And they had two kids and were in the process of adopting another one from South Africa, a little girl. He was texting me saying, oh my gosh, you have to hear about this. This is crazy. Like, Kimmy's absolutely insane. And Brian and she are having this fight right now. And apparently she threw a frying pan across the kitchen and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, who are your friends? What? Just go live your life. Like, I'll talk to you later kind of thing. You've got some stuff to, you know, figure out. And then he says, I'm going to give her your number or something, because I think you guys would hit it off really well. And I want you to meet some of my friends. And I'm just like, okay. And I start getting these texts going, hey girl, my, you know, bleeping husband over here, you know, blaming it on my hormones, rude. And just instantly is like, you don't even know my life. And I'm just like, okay. And I'm kind of rolling with it, thinking, okay, like, she's pretty fierce. And but she's hilarious. And I was cracking up. My roommate's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, it's this friend of his that is just, she's insane. And we're texting back and forth, and we proceed to text for a couple hours. I'm just like, okay, girl, I gotta go. And a couple days later, she's like, hey, sorry about that. I might have had a couple glasses of wine. And yes, he was being an ass, but like that was overboard kind of thing. I'd really just love to get to know you. And I'm like, I like you. This is funny. And every couple days she'd reach out and be like, hey, how's my guy? Like, how's my friend? What are you guys up to? Any secrets I can dish? You know, I know a lot about him. And I'm like, no, it's cool. I mean, it was fun, but I want to respect, I barely know him. I'm still getting to know him, and I'm not going to ask for dirt on him. Part of me was going, I don't owe you anything. And the other part was going, okay, I don't want my pride to get in the way and be like, I'm sorry, who are you? Because she was also very, very open. And I know that, you know, the lens through which you see the world is kind of how you just expect everybody else to be. So if you're super open, no holds barred, you expect everyone else to just be, you know, super open. So because she was sharing so much, I just thought, okay, that's probably why she has no qualms about asking me about my personal relationship right now. But I still held back a little bit, just that's just ingrained in me. But we would chat and talk and stuff. And she was very, very uplifting, very affirming, extremely encouraging. She would pray for me via text. So when we first started texting, she was like, hey, you know, how's my friend? I'd want to get to know you. You know, I'd love to eventually consider you as like a sister I've never had, because I'm really close with your boyfriend and very, very been praying for his future wife, you know, for years. And we know that if he feels this strongly about you, that you must be something special. And so I want in on this. Like, I want to be your friend kind of thing.
Before Sarah and Dick were together, Dick's friends, Kimmy and Brian, wrote letters to his future wife that were then given to Sarah when Dick and Sarah started dating. To the woman that loves him, if I'm honest with you, I don't know how to begin this. I'm sitting across the table from my husband as he writes, and it's wrecking him. It's a peculiar thing to see your husband happy cry tears writing to a woman he doesn't know. I hope that you don't mind that we've typed these to you, and I hope it doesn't mean less. We love you. Brian and I want you to know that we've been praying over your life for years. We've been praying that God was preparing you to love someone like Dick. Dick is someone that will forever change your life. You've probably begun to understand this, and it's probably rattled your world. I can tell you from the years of seeing the best and the worst, he's worth your love. You are worth his. This is a love that changes your definition of love. Love like this doesn't feel like the movies or Disney fairy tales. It's slow, like kindling a fire, and then all of a sudden it bursts into flames. Take your time, breathe deeply. Curl up next to the fire and rest in the fact that you have found a man that is unlike any other. Listen, the world tells us that we need to feel specific things, do certain things, and spend a certain amount of time at each stage. You've hopefully now learned that all goes out the window. Some of the best advice I can give you is don't look for others to affirm all that you see. I'm all for community affirming relationships, but Dick has a heart bigger than Texas and deeper than the ocean. That heart, though, has some scars. Some scars that we've done our best to mend, and we hope that's good enough for you. I mean that. We've prayed and are hoping that you can see through the banged up man and see who's behind it. No one experiences Dick like you do. Part of me is jealous. Most of me rejoices. I'll keep the scar discussion simple and short. Dick has seen friends die in his arms. He had his mother almost pass from cancer. He had someone light his identity on fire and warmed himself as it burned to the ground. He's had people steal hundreds of thousands of dollars from him, and a myriad of other things. We have experienced someone holding his love, his time, his touch, his selflessness, his loyalty, hostage. We've seen someone abuse him emotionally, spiritually, and physically. He's been beaten down. He's lost a lot of fights. And he's been told for years he isn't worth the air he breathes by someone and their family. Scars are scars for a reason, though. They serve as a reminder of what God's healed and brought you through. They are beautiful in a way. At least that's how we've chosen to see them. My hope is that you can see the man that we see and more. He's the greatest man we've ever met. There are a few things you need to know about him. He will always thank you for everything, even if it's dumb and small. For him, the fact that someone wants to spend time with him, let alone touch him, kiss him, and hold him, he is fragile. Words for him are either the fuel to an already burning fire, or they can snuff him out faster than throwing a match into the ocean. Never get a sharp tongue with him. He'll carry a wound longer than those words deserve. He doesn't know how to be touched. We've hugged him over the years, but it doesn't seem to sink in. I don't know how to explain it, but the closest thing I can think of is when you get the chills all over your body, enough to get your leg hair to grow. It's like that, but 10 times. He runs really, really hot, both experiencing life and also body temperature. He hates being hot. Don't move him somewhere where he'll sweat all the time. He won't tell you, but he'll hate life. The other side of that, Dick runs at a pace that no other person we know can maintain. He'll shift gears, slow down for seasons, or shift gears and fly so hard you think he's going to die. He won't, but he does need your help in keeping him in check. Just because God made you to sustain 1,000 miles per hour doesn't mean you should live at 800 miles per hour. As much as he loves speed, don't let him. He'll use his talents on you, for you. Don't feel selfish. That's part of sacrificial love. Total side note. Dick knows an unbelievable amount of things, like, it's insane. The man is a sponge. I tell you this because he will try and minimize things. Don't let him. He's the farthest thing from a prideful man, but sometimes he makes himself sound like a fool, and he's not. He's an interesting man. Nothing ever gets boring, though, so you have that going for you. To love him is, well, quite easy. You'd think a man with so many characteristics would be complicated to love. Touch, words, time. Touch is something that will forever make that man shudder. Touch him often. Hold him tight. He's never felt love from a woman like you. He's never felt a touch like yours. He's never understood what it's like to be held onto because the other person simply needs you. Words are fuel to him, but they can also snuff him out. There is never an excuse for a sharp tongue with him because he'll carry the wound longer than the words ever deserved. Tell him you love him often. For him, it doesn't lessen the meaning because of the frequency, but builds on the foundation. Tell him what you think of him often. He's never heard words like that before. Tell him he's doing a good job. He doesn't know it. Tell him when you miss him. No woman has said it and truly meant it. Time. He's weird with his. Time is something that he fully understands the value of, both from good and terrible experiences. I'm quite sure you already know the spectrum. Time is his value language. When you spend time with him, it means 100,000 times more than it does to the rest of us. Cherish this. God uses it to adjust your own perspective of the value of time. I know this sounds like a lot, but my hope is that it's natural for you to touch a man you love, to encourage him, and to spend time with him. For Dick, this is like Christmas morning every time. And no, he doesn't get used to it. My few asks of you are this. Love him uncontrollably. Don't you dare ever give up on him. And teach him what it means to be loved completely.
Like later on when he would say something that would hurt me, which wasn't until after we were engaged, I finally would go to Kimmy and be like, help me understand this. Help me like come from this, come at this from a healthy perspective and not get upset. Where are my emotions going too far? Where is my ego involved? And where did I really deserve to hear what he said? Like, is this just me being prideful and bratty, or was this him being a jerk? And she'd be like, oh, honey, like pride comes before the fall. Looks like you had it coming kind of thing. Like, well, you've been used to not having anybody to answer to for years. There was always a little bit of truth to it. Part of me has always been a little bit afraid that when I do get married, when I do have kids, maybe I'm too selfish. I've been single a long time. Like I really have been able to do whatever I want. And I count it as a blessing. But on the other hand, there's going to be a rude awakening one day, right? You know, when I'm in a committed relationship. And I know that. So she would take that little bit of truth so that I would listen to her. And then she would say, you've pretty much scooted along by the seat of your pants and wasted time, you know, effing around for the past 5 years. And now you're with somebody who's very driven, very goal-oriented, very like passionate and motivated. He's not going to let you get away with your stuff. And I was just like, oh, wow, I need to get it together. I need to get my butt in gear. And she would be like, you know, yeah, it sucks to get corrected by your husband. And I was like, corrected by your husband? Is that a thing? And, but she would say, you know, Brian has done it to me many, many times and it hurts like hell and I'll get mad, but he's always right and I'm always a better person for it. And I thought, okay, well, you guys have made it 13 years. You're happy.
Here's Sarah's parents, Greg and Rose.
I thought, did you date both of them? Like, were you married to Kimmy before? Because she knows you pretty intimately.
She knows an awful lot about you, yeah.
I thought, is Brian okay with this?
Emotionally and mentally, I was kind of faded, if that makes sense. I And it wasn't directly through him. It was through little subtle comments that, like, Kimmy would make or that he would make that I interpreted as not measuring up. Because it would be little things like a casual mention of who he's dated in the past. And, well, he's not that person anymore, but, you know, he did date swimsuit models. Like, stupid stuff like that. She sent me, like, a screenshot or a picture of someone he dated in the past. And I was like, honestly, in my mind, I thought, how? I mean, I love him. I think he's handsome, but damn. Like, how often did you know that Kimmy and he communicated with each other outside of
he you? Would I would ask him. I would ask him, and he would show me his phone and be like, she hasn't texted me in like 6 weeks. So, okay. You know, kind of thing. And I'd be like, oh, he would hand his phone to me. Brian has to, it benefits him to travel because of their business. And he had these business opportunities. He would like try to get my fiance in on and stuff, but she's busy like raising three kids. Yeah. She's very business minded too. And so she was trying to start up some kind of business. It was vague, but I remember her telling me like one day, hey, sorry, I haven't gotten back to you in a while. It's been really crazy raising three little ones in a foreign country and starting up my own business. And I was like, wow. And she said, yeah, I'm great. Brian made me do it. I'm grateful for a husband that doesn't let me settle. And I thought, he made you do it. You're taking care of three kids in a foreign country, and he pushed you to start a business. I mean, more power to you if you really want to do that.
Right.
I remember thinking, am I going to be running with people that put pressure on me to overperform when I'm exhausted? Like, what if I'm just not good enough? And they, because of their traveling, they had, I think it was like GoPhones they said they had or something. Cause I was like, well, are you on Instagram? Are you on Facebook? And they'd be like, oh, we have like bad relationship history with social media. So we've decided to cut it out. There were some trust issues. Apparently Brian had cheated on Kimmy at one point, and it had kind of started via Instagram. So there were major trust issues. So there was no social media. They were off the grid. That's why she oftentimes checked his phone. Which was why sometimes she would be like, hey, I got the scoop on, you know, the engagement planning or something like that. If you have any questions, I can tell you because I have Brian's phone. Yeah, sorry, I have trust issues. I check my husband's phone kind of thing. And I'd be like, don't tell me. I don't,
right.
That's weird. I don't want to know if there's a surprise being planned, you know. And I just always thought she was a little bit of an intense person.
Yeah.
But not going to get in the middle of their marriage. She had a conversation with me via text one time when we were planning our honeymoon, and she said, hey girl, have you lost the extra weight for those honeymoon pictures? And I went, excuse me? And I don't get mad. I rarely get mad. It takes a lot to kind of get my hand shaking, and I kind of started to take deep breaths, and I'm like, okay, where's she going with this? And she's like, oh yeah, I gotta lose that cellulite before the wedding. And I just thought, is this her idea of girl talk? Of like, does she know that I'm insecure about the fact that I have cellulite? Believe me, I've Googled it, hun. Like, it's not something you can get rid of with diet and exercise. So I kind of played it cool, but my emotions are rising and I'm getting a little bit shaky and heated. And
I got cellulite when I started puberty.
Right.
I was born with cellulite.
My baby pictures, I had cellulite. So I actually went to my fiance, and I wanted to be very, very careful and very respectful, because at this point I'm walking on eggshells because I'm so used to being wrong that I'm now afraid to voice an opinion because I don't want to get shot down. So in that conversation with Kimmy, I'll be honest, I was crying. I was pissed as heck. So she pretty much, what really set me off the edge was I said, well, I've done some research, you know, the doctor said I shouldn't be lower than X number of pounds. Even at my thinnest, when I had a flat stomach, I had cellulite. I told her this, I'm texting her this, trying to like reason with her. I didn't get mad right away. And she literally said, oh honey, I've seen photos. 5 pounds doesn't make that much of a difference.
Oh girl.
I slammed my phone down. I went and I got a broom and I swept my apartment and cried and screamed and punched things. Like, I threw pillows around. Like, I got it. I did dishes. I just went the rest of the afternoon fuming. And I just thought, how can another woman say this to another woman that she claims she feels like a sister to? And I'm just like, this is, first of all, you call yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
There is no love in this. There is no Jesus in this. This hurt me. And it wasn't until I actually was like, F you. And I started going to the gym twice a day. Like, it was nuts. But yeah, it was kind of a yes, not to play into it, but it was just sort of like a, I have to prove this to myself that I can get there kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then I told him that night, I was like, does she have body hate issues? And he could see that I was very worked up and I was trying to stay under control. And he was like, he goes, oh, very unhealthy. And I thought, well, that's the first time you've ever spoken anything negative about your friends. Because I had been very afraid to disagree with them up till now, because it was like this trio over here.
Yeah.
And I was welcomed in, so I'm not going to break this up. And I said, okay, because she said, she said some things that made me realize I don't think I can be friends with your friend. And I want to be very respectful, but I just don't think that this is a healthy friendship for me anymore. Mm. And he surprised me by saying, oh, totally understand. Let the dust settle. Like, she can be nasty.
So what did you say back?
I didn't text her back. I couldn't. I didn't know what to say. Yep, pretty much. Because I didn't have my emotions. And I kind of like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
I had nothing but really scathing things to say to her. So I waited. But a few days later, she texted me and she was like, oh, shit. And she's, but still, it wasn't a, I'm so sorry, I was wrong. It was a, so because you went quiet on me sort of thing. So again, this is my fault. Mm-hmm. I went quiet. I didn't speak up. She went over the text and she said, I can realize that I came across as a bitch and my words could have been taken as really fucking hurtful, is exact words that she said. And I wanted to say, no shit.
Yeah.
But instead I said, I think I need to get better at clearly communicating where I'm at. And I said, do I come across as more confident than I really am? And she said, hell yeah, you come across as really effing self-confident. And I said, okay, well, just to clarify, I'm not very secure in how I look. Because she said, let me guess, how do you see yourself? You know, do you see yourself as pretty? And I said, some days.
Yeah.
I said, most days. And I'm like thinking, wow, how was I such a saint? Because honestly, I wanted to kill her. But I thought, I'm going to be vulnerable with her and show her that this really, really hurt me, because maybe I come across as very self-assured, but I'm not. I don't wake up feeling like a goddess every day. And it's a good day if I am like confident to go out without makeup or something like that.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to know that this cut me really deep. Brian would text me and say, when she would kind of go too far and everyone could tell, okay, Kimmy's pushed Sarah too far, I'd get a text from Brian saying, I'm really sorry about my wife. She doesn't have a lot of lady friends in her life. And he would even say, honestly, you're one of the only women that's given her the time of day, so be patient with her. And I thought, are you manipulating me into being friends with your wife, who is very abusive and mean?
Sarah shared the screenshots with me of her conversation between her and Kimmy. Kimmy, I worked out like an MF. You're probably heavier than you want to admit. Sarah, I'm 5'7", and according to my doctor, I'm only 5 pounds overweight. Kimmy, LOL, OMG, we are the same. You're about 20 pounds overweight if you don't want cottage cheese legs. I had to get to about 125 for it to disappear. What you have to be careful of is when you have kids, because you'll be a fatty fatters. Sarah, terrified of having kids for that reason. Kimmy, ha ha ha, oh yeah, you'll have to battle against that. Nothing kills intimacy like a fat preggers. Get to 125, 130, and you'll see it leave you be. Sarah, I might be skin and bones. Kimmy, LOL, it's where you lose it from. I've seen pictures. LOL, 5 pounds isn't that much of a difference.
And to tell her she needed to lose weight before the wedding, and oh, she worked so hard as it was to, you know, that was her dream, to wear her dream dress and everything. And she's never been smaller as she was when Kimmy said that she needed to lose another, I don't know, 20 pounds or something. And I thought, where? What? Question herself in areas that I was never aware of her ever questioning herself to that degree before. She was always fairly confident, and not in a egotistical way. She just was very well balanced.
According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health, emotional abuse can include verbal assault, dominance, control, isolation, ridicule, or the use of intimate knowledge for degradation. It targets the emotional and psychological well-being of the victim, and it is often a precursor to physical abuse. Another term for intimate partner emotional abuse is coercive control, which is an oppressive form of abuse that is grounded in gender-based privilege. The effects of emotional abuse and coercive control are just as detrimental as the effects of physical abuse. However, the law recognizes physical and sexual violence as crimes, but not emotional abuse, even though it is a pervasive form of relationship abuse. Signs of coercive control and psychological abuse are as follows. And I just want to say before I get into the list that just because an abuser doesn't exhibit every single one of these characteristics doesn't make them any less abusive. Isolation, restricting social contact with others and/or creating problems in your personal relationships. Insisting on driving you to and from work, keeping you from doing things that you're good at or you enjoy. Monopolizing you, expecting you to spend all of your time with him or use all of your energies to serve his needs. He gets jealous of other relationships. Constant criticism, attempting to belittle you and dismantle your confidence, putting down your mental capabilities, intelligence, upbringing, or your physical appearance. Spiritual abuse, putting down or making fun of your culture or religious beliefs, insisting you adopt the same religion or beliefs as him. He may insist you hold the same political or parenting ideals. Gaslighting, manipulating you by using psychological warfare in order to question your own sanity or your view of reality. Denying or creating past events, telling you that you're too sensitive and/or that you play the victim. Lying, deceit, leaving out important facts, exaggerating or diminishing the truth, twisting small amounts of truth into a lie. Obsessive monitoring. He tells you what and when you can eat, drink, and how often you should be exercising to meet his physical ideals. He tells you what you can and can't wear. Blaming, attributing abuse to your faults, saying that you deserve what happens to you, or that you instigated the problem. Financial abuse, not supportive of you having your own job, especially outside of the home. Giving you an allowance, restricting your access to bank accounts or financial information. Refusing to contribute to shared expenses. Creating debt without your knowledge or spending money on whatever he wants. Stalking, harassing or persecuting someone with unwanted and obsessive attention. Hacking into your email, social media accounts, or demanding access to your phone and conversations. Sexual oppression, excessive sexual demands and sexual put-downs, objectifying you, pressuring you to have sex when you don't want to, making you feel as though you don't meet his sexual needs or desires, cheating on you, bullying, calling you insulting, derogatory, or racist names, such as stupid, disgusting, worthless, etc. Lacking empathy for others, insulting gestures or dirty looks, ignoring you or giving you the silent treatment, playing mean tricks on you or scaring you in cruel ways. Reproductive coercion, refusing to use a condom or another method of birth control, refusing to let you use birth control, medications, or receive proper medical care, sabotaging birth control efforts, such as poking holes in condoms or swapping out birth control pills, ultimately making decisions about when and how you become pregnant. Demeaning and humiliating behaviors, causing a severe loss of dignity and the respect of others, embarrassing you in public or spreading false information about you. Threats, threatening to inflict pain, injury, damage, or other hostile action in retribution for something done or not done, threatening to harm himself or your loved ones when upset with you. Destruction, breaking or ruining things that are important or valuable to you. Emotional abuse often results in severe psychological side effects, such as anxiety, chronic depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Next time on Something Was Wrong. You think you know
me, you don't know. I did a background check. What bothered me was there was this address, and then there was this address, and they were only like a few months apart. And it also had a couple of arrests.
As mentioned previously in the first episode, this story is being told in chronological order. I know you're thinking,
Stephanie, question, who is Dick? Please let me know who Dick is, because I feel like I'm trying not to Google these people, but who is Dick?
But I promise you, this story is one that's best told in sequence to fully understand its magnitude. The story is still evolving, actually, and even in the past week, listeners have reached out to share their own personal experiences with Dick.
She's typing. She's typing.
boyfriend's super cute looking on this Instagram photo, to be honest. Well, at the risk of sounding like a creep myself, I'll be back.
You can't write this shit. Oh my gosh.
More on that soon. Something Was Wrong is written, recorded, edited, and produced by me, Tiffany Reese. A heartfelt thank you to Sarah, her family, and friends for participating in this series. Check out Sarah's personal blog, Space and Purpose, via the show notes. All of the music this season comes from the band Glad Rags. Special thank you to Alyssa Doyle for her hype, support, and story editing assistance. Shout out to my husband, Michael, and our three children for encouraging me every step of the way. If you're enjoying Something Was Wrong, please subscribe now and consider sharing with your friends and family and, like, literally anybody you've ever met. Just, that'd be great. Thank you. If you would like to share your story with us, you can now call us and leave a voicemail. You can remain anonymous or share your first name and location. Our number is 1-323-379-5678. This number will also be listed in the show notes. Your message might be shared on a future episode. Thank you. If you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE.